بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. إن شاء الله we'll talk about the manners of the poor and this is on page 336 من هجر القاصدين by الإمام أحمد بن قدامة. He said a poor person, this is certainly abridged from the Arabic version. It is not a translation of the intact Arabic version, it's somewhat abridged. A poor person should be contented with his state, he should rather, these are the manners of the poor. If you happen to be poor, this is how you should behave. He should be pleased and delighted therewith, with his condition, with his poverty. He should rely on the Almighty. Otherwise, if he complains of his poverty to humans rather than the Almighty, his poverty will be a sort of punishment. He should rather maintain continence, which, you know, It is an accurate translation, but may not be not the best. And modesty. The Almighty says in the Quran, الفقراء الذين أحصروا في سبيل الله لا يستطيعون ضربا في الأرض يحسبهم الجاهل أغنياء من التعفف. The ignorant one, the one ignorant of their condition, will think that they are rich or that they are free from needs because of their modesty, because of their dignity in this case. Because of their dignity. So they should look dignified. The poor should look dignified. To the point where people will think of him to be as one who is free of need. Not necessarily wealthy, but free of need. That's the dignity. So one is contentment. One of the manners of the poor is contentment. He's talking about the poor here that is poverty as a station. As a station. The one who's content in this station. The one who will be rewarded for this poverty. Not the poor because he just doesn't have money. You know, the one who is poor because he's busy doing other things. And he's content in this state and he does not seek to change it particularly. And as we said before, we talked about money and we talked that money is good for the believer. And that as an ummah, we should be seeking power, all kinds of power, including economic and financial power. And that's what the ummah did in the past. But then some individuals, for them, poverty will be better. For some individuals, the pursuit of money will keep them away from things that are more important. It is not that they hate money or resent it. No, they don't resent it. But in order for me to acquire it, I will be taken away from that which is more important to me, such as, you know, learning knowledge and teaching it and preaching and da'wah and activities that are more satisfying to me than the acquisition of money. So they are there and they are satisfied in this station. They have gratification from other sources. Money is not what they're after. So he said that they should be content, they should be pleased, should be delighted in this station. And the delightment here, poverty does not necessarily bring about delight. But the delightment here is that you're not heavy, you're light. Wealth will make you burdened. You think about your wealth and you're consumed about, you know, into thinking about how to maintain it, how to protect it. How to buy like a safe in the bank to keep your jewelry and how, you know, do your important documents, you're afraid that they'll burn with your house. So you try to protect it. And so people, you know, protect, they have an insurance on their arm and leg and finger and so on. So it keeps you burdened by just the thought of losing your money, but the anxiety and the stress of maintaining it and growing it. So this person is light. You know, he's delighted that he doesn't, you know, really, he feels free of want and he's delighted in this station. That is not to condemn money and it's not to condemn wealth. But for this person, he's happy where he is. He should rely on the Almighty. So reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a very important with contentment, reliance. You're not relying on other people. You know, the poor in Islam is a different version of poor. The poor in Islam is not going to line up in the street looking for charity from the bypassers. No, the poor in Islam will be dignified to the point that the one ignorant of his condition will think that he's free of want. You do not need to particularly look poor. You know, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, he was one of the most ascetic people in the world, in the history of the world. Even when his son worked as a judge for the Khalifa, a judge ruling by Islam, nothing else, ruling by the mazhab of his father, nothing else. He refused to take any, to even, not even eat from his food. He even refused to take the rent of the one store that Imam Ahmad used to depend on its rent. He had a store, and he depended on the rent of the store. It was run down. So his judge son figured that it would be good to your father to fix the store a little bit, you know, so that it, just to maintain it, so that it can continue to provide. But because the money that his son, he was a judge, but Ahmad, you know, wanted to stay away completely from authority. So because his son worked as a judge, and then his son fixed his store, he refused to take the rent of the store until he died, that he used to depend on. So he was one of the most ascetic people in the history of the world. Yet, it says in the history of Imam Ahmad that no one had a whiter garment than Imam Ahmad. Like, you know, the garment that he wore, the kameez that he wore, was like completely shiny, white, clean. He looked groomed, he looked clean, he looked beautiful, he looked dignified. So the poor should be dignified, should be content, and should have complete reliance on Allah, and should not be asking the people for money or begging from people, and should not be reliant on them for his sustenance. يَحْسَبُهُمُ الْجَاهِلُ أَغْنِيَاءَ مِنَ التَّعَفُّفِ. The one ignorant of their condition will think that they are free of want because of their dignity. Because of their dignity. He says, a poor person should not treat the wealthy humbly due to his richness. He should never seek or, and he does not need to treat him rudely or disrespectfully, but he should be indifferent to the wealth of the wealthy. Indifferent. So how is he going to treat the wealthy? As a good brother in Islam. You know, just like he treats the non-wealthy, it's just like he will be indifferent to the wealth of people. Treat them all based on their manners, their behavior, and so on. A poor person should not treat the wealthy humbly due to his richness. He should never seek to keep his company. He should not slacken in his worship. He should spend his surplus as a charity. The Prophet ﷺ said, when he was asked about the best charity, he said, it is what is given by the poor. This is a very interesting hadith. أفضل الصدقة جهد المقل. The best charity is the effort of the poor. He said jahd, the effort of the poor, because that's what jahd is. When you put effort, the juhd or jahd in some work, why did he say this? He skipped the money and he went back a step to the work, because the poor did not acquire this money easily. There was a lot of effort for the poor to acquire this money. So he skipped the money. He did not say the money of the poor or the charity of the poor. And he went back a step to the effort to highlight the fact that when the poor gives money, he gives money that he obtained through hardship, effort, struggle. He did not inherit it. You know, he did not have, you know, this business venture and he, you know, made $2 million in 2 hours. No, he worked hard to obtain this money. So the best charity, he says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is the effort of the poor. And he skipped the word money so that he highlights the fact that this money was obtained through hardship and great effort. Yet, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used the same word in different ways. He said, أفضل الصدقتي ما كان عن ظهري غنى. ما كان عن ظهري غنى. واليد العليا خير من اليد السفلى وابدأ بمن تعول. And this was reported by Muslim, and it's more authentic than the first hadith that we talked about. Although the first hadith that we talked about is sound, but this is reported by Muslim. He said the best charity is the charity that you give in while that you give out of your wealth. That you give out of your wealth, or that you give out of your ghina, which is wealth. And the hand that gives is better than the hand that takes. The upper hand is better than the lower hand in reference to the one that gives and the one that takes. The upper hand, يَدُ الْعُلِيَ خَيْرٌ مِنَ الْيَدِ السُّفْلَى. The upper hand is better than the lower hand. The one that gives is better than the one that takes. And start with the ones that you maintain, that you are the caretaker of, or the you're the custodian of. That means your wife and your kids. Yourself, your wife, and your kids. And then your parents, if you have to spend on them. So start with the ones that are directly under your care. Does this conflict with the first hadith? Because in the first hadith, he says that charity, the best charity, is the effort of the poor, is what the poor gives out of his, you know, heart, you know, money that was earned through hardship and hard effort. And then in this hadith, he says that the best charity is the charity that's given by the rich out of his wealth. Which one is the best charity? And then in a different hadith, he says the best charity is to give water, to give away water. أفضل الصدقة سقي الماء. And then in a different hadith, he says the best charity is to give money. أفضل الصدقة على ذي رحم كاشح. The best charity is to give money to a relative that is showing enmity to you. Or a relative that is walking away from you. A relative that kashah is one who walks away from you, one who ignores you, one who does not show friendship to you. You know, it's versus birr, it's versus kindness to the kin, the opposite. So what is the best charity in this case? It varies. Because there are different positions, different circumstances, different people, different times, different places. It varies. It's just like the best deed. When the Prophet was asked about the best deed, his answer is very. Well, if you are a nervous person, then the best deed for you is to control your anger and sustain, like, restrain yourself. And if you have, you know, two older parents, then certainly the best deed for you is to be at their feet serving them. And then if you are powerful and strong and this is time for jihad, then most certainly the best thing is to go out to jihad. And if it is time for the prayer, then everybody leaves everything, and then the most certainly, that is the time where the prayer becomes the most important and the best action. So it varies. So sati al-ma' to give away water, because certainly that is the most basic need, because no one can withhold air from people, you know, unless you suffocate the person. But air is available for everyone. After air, what is the most basic need for humanity? How long can you survive without air? How long can you survive without water? How long can you survive without food? It shows you what are the most important and most basic, most essential needs for humanity. So that one of the most basic needs for humanity is water, after air, right after air. Therefore, makes perfect sense that the best charity would be to give away water in times when water is lacking, because that will be the thing most needed by the people. And then the best charity is the charity that you give to a non-friendly relative. Yes, because it is one of the most important things in Islam, or values in Islam, to keep good relationship with your relatives. Join the kin, salatul rahim, showing kindness to the relatives. And if someone is walking away from you or ignoring you, it may be because of some misunderstanding. It may be because of something happened between you. Maybe because of jealousy. But if you can bring that relationship back into the right place, then you should try to do that. And that would, in this case, be the best charity. So it varies. But we say it varies. But now there is someone who's rich, and there is someone who's poor, and this one is given money out of his wealth, and this one is given money that he earned through struggle and hardship. Which one is better? The one that is given out with more devotion is better. And then the recommendation of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and just you have to keep in mind what? Before the charity itself, the recommendation is to try to be self-sufficient, help yourself, and to help others. Help yourself and help others. Then, in general, the hadith of that's reported by Imam Muslim, أفضل الصدقة فيما كان عن ظهر غنى, or أفضل الصدقة في in the report of Muslim عن ظهر غنى. The best charity is what's given by the rich out of his wealth, and the upper hand is better than the lower hand, and starts with the ones that are directly under your care, or the ones for which you care. That hadith is a general statement for everyone. Try to acquire the money that will help you suffice yourself, suffice your household, and then have surplus to help others. So for the ummah, that's what the ummah should be working for. We should not be all working for poverty. We should be working for economic power as one of the powers, financial power as one of the powers. Now, it happened that you are poor because wealth was bad for you, because wealth keeps you away from things that are more important, and you're content with your station, and you're not begging people, and you're happy in this station of being poor, that's okay. In this case, the charity that you give out of the very little surplus that you have, that may not be surplus for other people, it's just surplus, it's relatively surplus. It's surplus because you already have food for today, and then you have a little bit more money. And that is surplus to you. It may not be surplus to someone else. But that surplus to you, when you go out and give it to one who's more needy than you, then certainly that shows a great deal of devotion, a great deal of nobility and character, and a great deal of greatness of the person who does this. And then in this case, it would be certainly the best charity in this case. So there is a general statement, that's what we should all be working for, so that we can be the upper hand. But for someone who is poor and takes out of the little money that he has and gives it to the needy, then that is certainly the ultimate show of generosity. Then he says, manners of accepting a gift. When given something without asking, a poor person should consider three things, namely the property given, the giver's purpose, and his own purpose behind taking. So you have to contemplate three things. If you're poor and someone gives you a gift, you have to contemplate three things. The property that you're given, and it has to be permissible. I mean, if it has to be something good, and it has to be something permissible, and it has to be from permissible money, from wholesome money. It would still be halal. We're not talking about halal and haram here. This is not a fiqh session, by the way. This is a tazkiyah session. This talks about a different level. So this is not a fiqh session. So if a dancer gave you money and you're poor, and she walked by you and she gave you money, is it halal for you to take it? Yes, it is halal. Would he say this here? Would he say to you, take it here? This is a tazkiyah. This addresses a different level. So no, he would not say to you, take it here. Because that's not the scale. That's not rising. It's just the bare minimum. That's the fiqh issue. Yes, it is halal for you. Because you've acquired the money through halal means. The contract or the transaction or the interaction between you and her is one of gift giving or charity. That's halal. How she acquired the money does not taint the money itself, because the money itself does not get tainted. It depends rather on the way of acquisition of the money. Yet, if she is a dancer and you're poor, and she gives you money here for the purpose of tazkiyah, you should not take it. Because that is money that was acquired through means that are not falsehood. This is the property that you're given, the thing that you're given. And then you have to also look at the person who's giving you this money and his purpose. His purpose of giving you the money. If his purpose of giving you the money is to show off, then do not help him on this impious purpose. Don't take the money. And then you will have to look at why you're taking the money. Why are you taking the money? Why is he giving you the money? Why are you taking the money? And is this money good money? So now look at why are you taking the money? Do you really need it? And if you don't need it and someone else needs it more, then you should pass it on to that person who needs it more. That is one thing. If he's giving you the money because you look pious, you look like you're here in the masjid every day and you look very pious, and he wants to give you this gift because of this piety, and you know that you are not as pious as people may think, do not take the money. Because he's given it to a pious person, like a very pious person, and you know that you're not that person. So do not take the money. Also, you ask yourself, what am I going to use the money for? Why do I need the money? And all of these questions. So if the answer to these questions is all positive, like this man who's given you the money is a pious person, he acquired this money through halal work, and he's given you the money because, to show friendship, to show brotherhood, and he's not aiming to show off, and he's not aiming to indignify you, and so on, and you do need the money, and you do have a good use for it, if the answer to all this is positive, then you accept the gift and or the charity, or slash the charity. Prophet ﷺ said to Umar ibn al-Khattab رضي الله عنه, ما أتاك من هذا المال وأنت غير مشرف ولا سائل فخذه وما لا فلا تبيعه نفسك. Whatever of this money comes to you, while you're not eager to, or you're not too eager to have it, nor too eager. What did you use a different translation for this? No, he didn't actually tell you. Oh. Without asking for it or having greed for it. Yeah, greed is also acceptable. Yeah, without asking for it, وَأَنْتَ غَيْرُ مُشْرِفْ, you're not too eager or you're not too keen to have it. Too keen to have it. Israf is from doing this. If you have like a crowd of people watching something in the middle, like in the middle of the ring, and someone does this, tries to look, very keen to look at what's going on in the middle, that's Israf. So if you're not really too eager to have the money and you're not asking for it and someone gives you this money, take it. The Prophet said, وَمَالَ and what doesn't come to you, فَلَا تُبِعْهُ نَفْسَكَ. Do not let yourself run after it. Don't let yourself run after this money. And there is another hadith also that's reported by Khalid al-Juhani, may Allah be pleased with him, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, مَنْ بَلَغَهُ عَنْ أَخِيهِ مَعْرُوفٌ مِنْ غَيْرِ مَسْأَلَةٍ وَلَا إِشْرَافٍ فَلْيَقْبَلْهُ وَلَا يَرُدَّهُ فَإِنَّمَا هُوَ رِزْقٌ سَاقَهُ اللَّهُ إِلَيْهِ. And he translated it as, if any one of you is given something by his brother without asking or coveting for it or being too eager, it's the same israf like it's like the first hadith. The two exceptions is you should not be asking and you should not be too eager, too keen, or too greedy. He says, if any one of you is given something by his brother without asking for it or being too eager for it, he should take it, since it's sustenance sent to him by Allah. Rizq, provision, sent to him by Allah. That also applies to, sometimes Islamic work, for instance. Islamic work that we do. If we hire someone to do a part-time job, he should not say, no, I will do this for free. I'll do it for Allah. Because eventually the work needs to be done by people. And if we depend on volunteers, and the volunteers don't have time, and they will give you the, you know, what is left of their week, which could be great, you know, and they could be greatly rewarded for it. But then if the Islamic work is to progress and is, you know, to require more labor, then the people should then accept to take money for their effort. And that's what Umar ibn Khattab, that's what the Prophet ﷺ was saying to Umar ibn Khattab. Because the Prophet ﷺ hired Umar ibn Khattab or assigned Umar ibn Khattab to do a job. And then he gave him money, and Umar ibn Khattab said to him, I have money, I don't need money, I have the money, I did this for Allah. So the Prophet emphasized that whatever comes to you of this money, take it, because then it can be helpful, you can use it, you can give it out as charity, but take it. Because, if, like I said, in the Islamic work, you also need accountability. Because many times when we do things and we said, you know, we want volunteers, and everybody shows, and, you know, they're tired, and they came back from work, and someone shows up and someone does not show up, and then, you know, or someone shows up and four or five others don't show up, it's not going to work out this way. Because you need accountability. If the person is paid, then you really have to be here. And volunteership, by the way, this is too much branching off here from this subject. Volunteership, for us Muslims, we need to recapture that spirit of volunteership. We are about volunteership. The Sahaba did everything for, they volunteered. They defeated the Roman and Persian empires. They volunteered to fight in battles against the Roman and Persian empires. By human calculations, they are lost battles. This was volunteer work. These were not paid soldiers like the Romans. They were paid, you know, soldiers and so on. They were not paid. They volunteered to go out and fight against the Romans. You know, the strongest, the most powerful, the you know, empire in the whole world. The Roman Empire. The Roman Empire was, you know, this is the empire that survived for 1,000 years. This is the empire that was in control of most of the civilized, they say, world. You know, from Britain, from the eastern shores of Britain at one point, all the way down to Egypt and you know, North Africa and Southern Europe, the Roman Empire. And those Sahaba, you know, from Ansar and Muhajirin and so on, they took it upon themselves to go and fight against the Roman Empire and defeat the Roman Empire, but simultaneously go and fight against the Persians also, and defeat both at the same time, simultaneously. Volunteer work. So we need to recapture the volunteer work, because nowadays, we're the complete opposite. You know, volunteership is valued by people of other faiths a lot more than us. And they do really commit to it. And there is accountability. Volunteer work does not mean to them, you know, well, I'll come if I, you know, if I wake up. Well, the work cannot be done this way. I mean, you either tell us that, you know, you set your alarm, you do what you should, wake up. I mean, if you're going to work, you will set your alarm so that you wake up. And But this is just the reality of our, you know, condition as Muslims nowadays when it comes to the volunteer work. And in order for us to build the community from scratch, you know, the very basic building blocks of the community, to put them together, because this is what this community is about. This is a community of immigrants predominantly. You know, there are some people who are not immigrants, but this is predominantly a community of immigrants. This is, even the people who are not immigrants, this is a new community, a new faith community. How long have we been here as an established faith community in the United States? So in order for you to put those building blocks together and try to build the community, that takes enormous effort. The price of not doing this is losing generations of Muslims. Losing them completely. You're going to lose them to every evil. You know, he can imagine and he cannot imagine. But that's the price. And we happen to be unprepared, you know, unequipped, unprepared. We came from our countries, many of us came from our countries, even if we're college educated, you know, the college education that we got is not really that good. Some of us. Some did get a good college education. But it did not prepare us, you know, intellectually to build the community. And this may be cruel and painful and so on and so forth, but this is just the reality of our community. Therefore, it takes enormous effort to fix all of these. And we come with, you know, tribalism, and we come with, you know, the different mentalities that we come with from our countries, and that are very difficult to, they're very, keep in mind that building communities and building civilizations requires certain ingredients. You could be very good and righteous, but you don't have the ingredients to build a civilization. The Sahaba, radhiyallahu alayhim, they acquired those qualities. They were not inherent in the Arabs at the time, otherwise they were feuding tribes. They, you know, for the entire history, they never built like an empire, like a hierarchical state in the peninsula. So it was not an inherent quality in them to build a civilization. They acquired it from Islam. They acquired, and that's the miracle of Islam, is that bring those feuding tribes and make a state out of them, and hierarchy, and so on, and a civilization. That's the miracle. We tend to, many of us tend to not have those qualities, those essential qualities. One of the essential qualities is forbearance. That we sit down and we talk, and then we disagree, and then we walk out friends. You know, it is very hard for us to do this. And, or we disagree, and then we can come down to terms with, you know, like a midway position or something of that nature. Because whenever we disagree, you know, I will go out and build my own master. We'll separate. If it is an organization, we will break it in half, or we will break it into three-thirds, and you take your part, and I take my part, and so on. Look at Mauritania. This is just crazy. This is absolute craziness. You know, they just had an elected president. They just had like a coup last year, and that was like a, you know, that was a good one, because this ousted like a dictator, like a cruel, under elected dictator. But then they just had an elected president, and everybody knew that this was, you know, honest and transparent process. And then they just, it shows you that there is something inherently wrong in us. There is something that is keeping us from getting our act together. There is something inherently wrong. Because everybody was looking at, in the entire Muslim world, people were looking to Mauritania to be, you know, the spearhead of this process of righteous. We're not talking about democratization. We're just talking about righteous rulership, righteous governorship. And this happens. So there's something that's inherently wrong, and we bring it with us. So we will have to overcome it. And in order for us to overcome it, enormous effort has to be invested into this process. This enormous effort has to come from volunteers, because we can't really pay everyone. So a volunteership is something that we have to start to really propagate and respect as Muslims. You know, 10 hours of my week, or 5 or 4, but consistently, will be for this cause. Otherwise, it will be my kids, along with other kids, that will lose.